The only way you're going to win the battle is stay close to the Lord. But staying close to him, there's some things we have to learn. And the greatest thing you're going to find, the greatest aspect of God that releases all things is his grace. And we entered into this grace. We hit this a couple of weeks ago, and it's been incredible. Change the dynamics of my prayer time. It's no longer just putting your time in, and you get to go in and be with him. And if you learn some protocols in the kingdom of God, it'll make it a lot easier for you. Amen. The thing is you don't have to change yourself. God will do that for you, but you got to learn how to get and access his grace. That's the key. It's the accessing of grace is the key. The grace will give you everything you need, because grace is a single word that describes the entire dispensation we live in. Everything he inherited on your and I's behalf when he ascended into the right hand of God, everything he purchased, every substitution, every redemption, pleased the Father that in him all the fullness would dwell. It pleased the Father in him all fullness. When he came in John, he said, all things that the Father has are mine. And I'm going to freely give them to you. Now, the key with God is you can't work for it. And you can't access it by works. And that dynamic of the way you approach God, it's very hard to teach somebody that. The Holy Ghost really has to teach you that, because there are certain veils that we carry in our life that when we carry these veils, we don't know they're there. When there's certain things that are blocking and hindering the flow of God's grace, once you access grace, it'll change you immediately. And it'll also start changing your circumstance, readily change things. But it's the accessing of grace that's sometimes the difficult part, because there's protocol, and we're learning some of that protocol, because you can't come to him clothed in this world. And you can't come to him clothed in yourself. You got to lay that down before the initial approach. We go to 1 Peter 5. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, you have to have a revelation of grace. If you don't know what grace is, you're just going, well, I'm going to access his unmerited favor. It's a lot more than unmerited favor, but it is unmerited favor. It's everything. It's all that he has that he wants to freely make available to you, that he purchased in blood, purchased on the cross. It's all there. It's all available. And he never withholds. Say, he never withholds. One thing that he does not withhold is grace, but there are things that block your ability to receive, and we have to learn how to receive the grace. And until we really get to a state of dependency, we won't receive it, because we're not dependent upon it. And we're not in a state of dependency with God, then what happens? We're depending on something else, usually something self-reliance, self-sufficiency. All that self-clothing, amen. That's why he said, he that cometh to me, let him deny self. He wasn't talking about denying your chocolate cake. You can have that. Hallelujah. You can have that filet mignon. Amen. That's not what he's talking about denying. He was talking about denying self its rights to govern your life, because it has an inherited right to govern if you allow it. You don't have to conquer self in all its facets and forms. You have to deny it and submit it. Grace will conquer it, but you have to submit it under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? Now, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger, be submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed in humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If we can know what humble means, we could probably get more grace. Humble is not just walking around saying, hi. My name is Pastor LaRue. How are you? I'm humble today. That's not really humble. Pride. The Holy Spirit had to give me a definition. It says, be clothed in the glory of one's self. As long as you're clothed, you will not be clothed upon. One thing that's going to block grace more than anything is the clothing you wear. Now, I'm not talking about these clothes. I'm talking about the spiritual But clothing of this world system and the spiritual clothing you wear will block grace. If you're clothed in self and you come under the throne of grace, you will genuinely be petitioning for quite a long time and you get very little. You have to lay that down. That has to be surrendered and bowed to the ground. And he said, read it like this, humble self under the mighty hand of God. You can add right hand. See, there is submission of your life under the government of God, under the mighty right hand. That's his throne. That's the same throne of grace. That's where he administrates. The right hand of God is where he's administrating from. He ascended there. He became the appointed heir of the Father there. And that's a throne of grace. So you got to come under that throne and you got to come in there to receive. Amen. So we humble self and we dismantle the glory of oneself. We lay that down. You got to recognize that that's what's blocking it. You got to recognize the word of the Lord that no flesh will glory in his presence. You got to recognize the word of the Lord that not of works, lest any man should boast. You have to recognize the word of the Lord, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. You got to come to that recognition. That's why the Holy Ghost is such a good teacher. Number one thing he's going to teach you in this life, and I'm going to get a lot of show of hands here in a minute. Number one thing he's going to teach you is you can't do it. How many of you tried and 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 tried? Because God has this dynamic and this way about him. He sticks that coal up inside you and he lets it burn. And it burns, and the will of God burns in your life so much that you want to put your hands to it, so much you want to put your hands to the plow and make it happen, and you do, and we don't get any results hardly. We get little results because we're looking at something far greater than us, and we're constantly looking at it because what God called you to do is bigger than you. Say, way bigger. What God called you to do, it's bigger than you. And to get it done, you have to learn to do it God's way. Amen. One thing he'll teach you is you can't do it in your, I'll say it like this, concerning the advancement of God's kingdom, we can do nothing within ourselves. Because there's a lot of things you can do. A lot of things we do. A lot of very good things. But the issue with God's calling is it's above us. How many of you has God called you to do something that's way bigger than you? Raise your hand. How do you know that? Because you're walking with the Holy Ghost and he's showing you. Why does he do that? But he locks it up in you and fire in your bones. But one of the things he teaches you as we go along, especially if we're operating in the wrong parts, is he allows all that to come on out. Let it come on out. And we let it run and it doesn't work. And we let it run and it doesn't work. And we keep hitting wall after wall after wall. And we're saying, what is the use? Why? Because he's getting us to the position he has to teach you that in order to create the dependency upon him. If he doesn't teach you that, you'll still operate in a measure of God and a measure of self. Do you see that? Do you see what I'm talking about? And so we have to come to that place. Like I remember Catherine Kuhlman said, 1,000 deaths I've died. But you come to that burial ground where you realize, I'll call it brokenness. It was a brokenness. We come into that brokenness, and that's the place where the great exchange can happen. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, how many of you have been through some brokenness lately? Raise your hand. How many of you think something was wrong with you because you went through that? To be honest with you, everybody gets exercised in that. Now, there's a reason why he brings you to that place. It's because he's trying to get you connected with something much, much, much greater. Now, many times when we're functioning, we don't know what we're functioning in. We don't know what kind of atmosphere. We don't know what we're clothed in. A lot of times we don't know as we're growing in these things. We just don't know. Amen? For you are living in the season and the very hour, says the Spirit of grace, where all things will come to a new place. I will draw you up into me. I will draw my people that have an eye to see. I will draw you into a grace greater than you've ever known. And great grace will rest again upon my church. For I release all that I have purchased for my bride. This is the hour it will all release. You will come to understand and know and operate and do exploits. Mountains that have not moved will move. Generational mountains will be moved, says the Spirit of grace. Mountains of government that seems as if it's impossible. You will see my hand, my prophets in the land will begin to declare to the kings of the earth. Even the wicked, says the Spirit of grace, will be confronted again in this hour. For my people will rise in a great light. For the early church were called to lay the foundation. They move through the suffering, says the Spirit of grace. But this church, this last day church, will be called to reign with me. They will reign by grace. You will reign in this hour. It will be the day of the overcomer, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The political scene is going to shift greatly. God is going to clean the house. He's going to do it. Right now, men's pride is probably at an all-time level. And we're talking about Republicans, Democrats. We're talking about the political leaders. God's going to shift it. There will be exposure, says the Spirit of grace. There will be exposure that will bring disgrace, temporary disgrace to the nation. But then I'll raise it up again. For this is a nation that was founded upon my grace. I've kept it together by grace. And I'll cause it to stand for its purpose in the last hour by grace. This nation will move through a season of disgrace. But then I'll honor it again, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I must purge the evil from the land. And my spirit and the sword has already gone forth. It has been decreed from on high, says the Spirit of the Lord. There will be great shaking. Be not dismayed. Keep your eyes on what I'm doing. And not what you see in the natural. For there'll be shaking. There'll be great shaking. Greater than you've seen in many years, says the Spirit of the Lord. Some hearts will fail them because their eyes are upon the natural. Because they're rooted in the systems of this world. But those of you that are in me. Those of you whose foundation is aright, you will not be moved, you'll be promoted. For even in the shaking, I will call the Josephs up to be promoted, to take the reins of the distribution of my wealth. For I inherited the mountains and the inheritance in them. All the earth in its fullness is mine. For it was given to me from above, from the Father, says the Spirit of grace. And I will release it in this hour. There will not be one Joseph in the land. There will be many. For I have prepared them. Most are nameless and faceless. Most very few have known or seen. I've hidden them for this hour and this purpose. I will bring Daniels again into the courts of the kings of your land. I'll not bring one Daniel, but I'll bring many Daniels in. And they will begin to speak the truth and confront the government of the land, says the Spirit of grace. All things will turn, for this nation was birthed for a purpose in the last day. And I will fulfill her purpose, says the Spirit of grace. She will be strong, and the church in it will be strong and full of light. Light that you have not seen, light that you have not known. Light that has not come upon your generation from the days you were born. Light will come again. Great light. Great exposure from the great light, says the Spirit of Grace. The exposure will reach into my church. There will be an unprecedented shaking, even in the media of the land. For the money changer, says the Spirit of Grace, I will come again and cleanse the temple. I will come again and cleanse the airwaves, says the Spirit of the Lord. I will bring truth to a new level. I will bring light, truth, and great grace, says the Spirit of the Lord. Watch for the shakings, but those of you that are rooted in me will not be shaken, for you've already gone through your shakings. I've shaken you in times past. You will be ready for promotion. I will lift you up in great authority, says the Spirit of the Lord. You will walk in great authority with me, says the Spirit of Grace. The shakings you will soon see, but it will not come nigh your dwelling. For those of you that have believed in the hedge, those of you that are covered in my grace, those of you that are listening, have your eyes upon me. Not only will you be in the land of Goshen during this hour, you will be used of me. I will promote thee when others fall. Surely there will be one on the right that will fall, but the one on the left will stand, says the Spirit of Grace. Know what's coming upon this land. Have your feet upon the rock with me. Be in me. Be with me, says the Spirit of Grace. Amen. I hope y'all caught that. Very important. Very important. When you see what's about to start happening in this land, not to get discouraged by it. It's also very important that you be properly aligned, that you have to be under his grace. That's why he said, humble yourself under my mighty right hand. Come under where I am. Be under him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I saw people in great authority being removed, not one. It's going to be more than one. It's going to be a disgrace for a while, I'm telling you. It has to be. It's just a brood of vipers and evil that's going on. But the good thing is, we're in line for promotion. People who are not walking with God, their hearts are going to fail them because they're looking in the natural. But see what God's doing in the spirit. This country's going to be used. This nation's going to be used in a powerful time. This country is not going to fall apart. It's just going to be shaken. Did you fall apart when you were shaken? No, he just shook off the things that didn't need to be there. Nobody likes shaking, but boy, don't you like when you come up out of the shaking and there ain't nothing there anymore. I'm like, man, I'm so glad that's gone. Amen. Come in and just shook control right off my tree. And I'm like, I'm so glad that was gone, especially because I couldn't see it. He'll shake things you can't see. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, his grace, your grace, Father. Do you know that scripture where sin abounds, grace does much more abound? Do you know that he was actually, that's not where I'm at right now. Y'all want to take a trip into that a minute? Again, take what you believe that scripture means, set it on a shelf. Amen. That's the thing about the Word of God. You can't just take a scripture and build a doctrine off of it. There's an image there. Amen. Look at verse 20 of Romans 5. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, you know, there's grace to cover everything. Where sin's abounding, grace will cover it. It's just not what it's talking about. Boy, if you really knew what it was talking about in the extent of how he set us free. Now go to chapter 5, verse 1. I'm not going to be able to teach it. I'm just going to have to share it. It says, you have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand. It's the only way you're going to access grace is by faith. You come to the throne. See, in your brokenness, you can't stay there. Even though brokenness is a major key to walking with God, you can't sit in brokenness because you're just broken. When Paul said, out of weakness, I'm made strong. Paul said, God, get this off of me. And he came to him three times. God finally responded, Paul, my grace is sufficient. I'm like Jesus saying, look, my grace will get you through it. That's not what he was saying. He goes, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I have seen people very broken that have no strength. You have to understand it was the position of Paul's weakness that removed Paul out of the way. And that clothing that come up off of Paul gave him an access, an unadulterated access to God. When he removed Paul's sufficiency, Paul moved into the throne of grace and was able to access power and glory beyond what he was walking in. But he did it from a state of weakness because that's the only way God could get Paul in position, because Paul was too clothed in himself. He had to get that part off of Paul. That's why in Philippians, he said, the things that were gained to me, all that I was, a Pharisee of Pharisees, concerning the law, blameless. I could walk in the law in perfection. A Pharisee at the age of 7, memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament. He goes, I excel to the height of the Jewish religion. I had it all, but all those things were gained to me. I count it all loss because that wasn't going to get the power of God resting upon me. You can have all the knowledge in the world and have all the religious system down just right where I keep it all just perfectly. I get it all down. I just got it all just right. But the power of God, that does not cause in Christ to rest. Christ rests from the position of grace. It was to be enthroned in grace, not in ourselves. Being enthroned in grace, not religion. And see, all those trials, Paul was, it was moving him out of the way and it brought him to a state of weakness in the natural. But that position caused him to ascend into the right hand of God and be clothed into grace. You got to take all of Paul's walk with that. You can't just be some broken, weak person. We deal with them all the time. They're in brokenness and they're in weakness and they've just been busted. I mean, just broken beyond measure, but they can't be utilized for the kingdom of God because they haven't learned to be clothed on from on high. If you don't get clothed on from on high, you're just going to walk around broken. If you're walking around broken, the enemy will take advantage of you. You've got to come and take that state now and said, now I know it's not of me. There's nothing left. But now I've got to come to where you are to be clothed. I got to step into grace. See, you got to take all of Paul's walk when he talked about being ascending in the right hand of God and sitting with him in heavenly places. Every book he talked about was being raised together with him. See, Paul knew how to come into that place, but he had blockages too. But his trials were removing the blockages so he could walk in there and be clothed in power. He goes, those things are gaining me. I count all but lost that I may know him and the power of his rest. He knew when he was stripped, he could come naked and bare before God. And when he came in there, he could get clothed on from on high. We have access unto this grace by faith, unto this grace wherein we stand. We come in by faith, but we come in, all things are naked and open. You got to let go. That stuff's got to get surrendered. That's blocking. Amen. Then he gets in to this thing with Adam. He starts differentiating there in Romans 5, Adam and Christ. two dispensations. He said death entered the human race and sin and death. And he was talking about sin that was brought into fruition of death. It entered in by Adam and it was passed upon all men. One man, sin abounded into the earth through one man. That's what he said, where sin abounded. Because it abounded in the core when God set the procreation in Adam. And when he lost it, sin entered into the human race. And because they were the parents of the human race, every person that was born in a state of sin. Death was passing upon all men. And sin was abounding through that. It abounded throughout generation after generation. It was multiplying and bringing forth harvest of darkness and gross darkness and death. But then God said, there's another one I'm going to raise him up. And where sin abounded in the first one, grace is going to much more abound in the second, because he's going to bring a brand new dispensation of grace into the earth. And grace will abound. In the same way sin was multiplying, grace and life and power and glory is going to multiply into the human race by grace. Because Jesus is going to destroy the foundations of sin at its core within us. And we were raised together with him. And now grace will reign. Just as sin would reign into a Sodom and Gomorrah. You can add parts of San Francisco with that. It was just raining. Grace can reign over cities now. Because one man. Go to verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, that was Adam. Death by sin. Death was reigning over generations. And so death passed upon all men, for all had sinned. That was Adam's reign. That was his gift to humanity. Death. He lost his place with God. Procreated death. Everybody was born that way. Look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And he's going to differentiate between Adam and Christ. He's going to go back and forth, back and forth. He does it about five verses in a row. He says the exact same thing. But as the offense, Adam released that into the human race, so also is the free gift. Christ released that into the human race. For if through the offense of one Adam, many be dead, verse 15, much more by the grace of God Christ and by the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus has abounded unto many. It's not as it was by one man that sinned, Adam, so is the gift, Christ. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, Adam, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, Christ. For by one man's offense, Adam, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive, look at this, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. You can take all the destruction of the nations for the last 6,000 years because of one man. But he says that same level of destruction, you take the life between one man and he's going to bring life, freedom, and victory. In the same way the enemy brought destruction through one man's obedience to the Father, the perfect sacrifice releases the grace of God for every generation. He wasn't talking about your little struggle with sin. He was talking about grace reigning in a generation. In the same way death could reign. If a Hitler could be born and destroy 20 million people, so can a Son of God be raised up to bring life. In the same way death can reign, life can reign now in a brand new believer. If I can just get a hold of that grace. I was born into it. That's why he told the Galatians, listen, you were born into grace. Are you going to go get perfected in the law? He goes, you got to stay in grace. You are born in grace. You stay. He goes, he that's working miracles, is he doing it by the works of the law? You got to stay up in that grace. Say, Father, get me up in that grace. You ain't just to get the free gift of grace and live the rest of your life in your own self, in your own strength, in your own wisdom. No, it was a continual dependency. All that I am is by this immeasurable flow of riches and glory called grace. wrapped up in fullness. Inheritance, power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength. Mammon convinces you gotta spend a lifetime serving it just to pay your bills when God has purchased an inheritance for us. I'm gonna get up there and get me some of that. Verse 19, as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many made righteous. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered. I'm gonna give you a 1 minute thing about the law. That the offense might abound. The offense was already there. Adam already set it in motion, see. Sin was already multiplying into the human race. That was natural. Now the law, God brings the law in there. He adds the law to the situation. He goes, now we're really going to have that offense abound. We're going to set the law in there. Why did the law cause the offense to abound? Because that's the only way God had to deal with people. They were spiritually dead. He had to show them their nature. So he brings this law and puts it in front of them and said, here, keep this. I give you a commandment to keep it. Knowing they could not. It was way above them. And the second they tried to keep it, it set what was in them in motion. Sin was set in motion. It was lying in dormancy until light came in. The law brought the light of it. And second, I tried to keep it in the fallen state. It set it in motion. That's how they led. That's how God led them in the old. He showed them that's who you are. You, that nature can't inherit me, so you got to embrace the promise of one to come. How many of you want to go back under that? Give me a Pentecostal break. Perfection doesn't come that way. Perfection came by grace. It came by the gift of God. Christ come and said, I'll just take that nature out of you. When you're under the law, all I can do is show you that's who you were. But when grace come and says, I take it out. I take it out. And I put mine in there. And mine can reign. So where sin was abounding in that fallen nature, under Adam's reign, under Adam's dispensation, if you just meditate that, you'll see it. Where sin was abounding under Adam's dispensations, now grace will much more abound under the dispensation of Christ because I took the nature out. And then Romans 6, he talks about the struggles you have with the natural body because your natural body wasn't born again. He said, you got to submit that. He goes, but I changed your core. Amen. Now, let me show you this and I'll close. Go to Galatians 3 real quick. You see that? Sin abound, isn't that good? He's talking about Adam's dispensation. If sin could abound under Adam's, how much can grace abound? How much can righteousness abound? I'm not in that dispensation. I'm in grace and I can have the free measure. You know, sin never stopped. Sin was just running because it was in the core. Guess what's in my core now? Life, 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 grace, 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 grace. That's in my core. And that grace is going to overcome all the other frailty. Grace, 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 grace. Sin shall have no dominion over you. You're not under the law trying to keep the law with a spiritually dead nature anymore. You're alive. But more importantly, he gave you the capacity when you were born again to receive grace. That's the beauty of it. You wasn't just a one-time shot. You were given something you could approach God. You could approach the place not even the high priest could come into but once a year. You were given something you could come into God and say, I got something now that can receive your clothing. I can receive your glory. I can receive the power that is from above. I can be clothed in the honor. I can be clothed in strength. I can be clothed in righteousness, peace, and joy. I can be one with you. I'm reigning. I'm walking in grace. Grace and more grace. Grace is a continual, everlasting flow. That's why he made his throne of it. Galatians 3, verse 23. Before faith came, we were kept, notice this, under the law. We were kept under it. We were kept in a spiritually dead state under the law. We had to go up under it and be exercised in what was called the schoolmaster. shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ. In the old, everyone was called to be under God. From old to new, you had to come under. But that time you went under a system you couldn't get out of. He says, now come up under this. And he put them up under the law. And that law exposed who they were. And they went under. And it was schooling them the fact, now you can't get out of this situation. You can't get out. You can't get out. You can't get out. You just got to embrace the promise of one that's going to come, that's going to set you free. That's the way they lived. But now we're called what? To come under, humble ourselves under where? The mighty right hand of God. You're not humbling yourself under the law. You're humbling yourself under the mighty right hand, under the throne of grace. And what you're going to receive is life, light, truth, glory, freedom, the ability to reign with him. He's going to clothe you and the honor that's from above. He's going to clothe you in the glory that's from above. You're going to be under the right hand of God, under him as the high priest of your confession. You're going to come under him and receive grace and abound in grace. Amen. I want to abound in grace. I want to abound in grace. For you are all the children of God by faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, you're putting on Christ now. Isn't that good? And I'm putting on Christ. I'm putting on Christ. I'm going under. I'm going under. I'm under. I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. Father, keep us under. Keep us under, Father. Keep us under the shadow of the Almighty. Keep us under there. Under a dispensation of grace. Of freedom. Of love, joy, righteousness, peace, inheritance. Clothe us today, Father. We come under that helmet of salvation that's from above. Crown us. Place that helmet over us, Father. In your mighty name, Lord. Hallelujah.